1. Jess. Jess stood frozen beneath the big tree, her feet surrounded by shrubs, the breeze from the ocean teasing her hair as she stared at the phone still in her hand, eyes locked on the messages. Her heart thudded against her ribs, an awful weight settling low in her chest. Callie, Jules, and Blake had been kidnapped, and Jess only had 24 hours to find a disc that Carl supposedly gave her. Her mind spun and turned back to the day Carl was at the inn as she picked over the conversation with him and tried to remember if he had anything with him. No, Jess shook her head, lost in her thoughts. He didn't give me anything besides demands for more money and... Her brow furrowed, remembering how he had tried to goad her to call his attorney about the non-compete clause in their divorce agreement. Excuse me, Jess said. She started to walk back toward the inn and stopped, turning to David. You'd better get inside and let me look at your head. She held up her phone. I need to make a quick call.
I'll be there in a bit, David said,
making her frown curiously as she turned back toward the tree. Jess nodded and continued inside and into the office. As she stepped through the door, her eyes scanned the room as she let herself recall where Carl had been. Her frown deepened. The forensics team had gone over her office with a fine-tooth comb. Her head tilted to the side as she pictured the team and the police officers moving through the office the night of the break-in. A thought occurred to her. Jess had remembered thinking they weren't that thorough for a forensic team. All they had done was take photos of the drawers that had been rifled through, looked for blood spatter, and dusted for prints. It was when Jess and Byron were cleaning that she found the sobriety chip wedged beneath her desk. Now that Sean had told them the FBI was under the impression the McKenzies were working with someone in the police force, both in Tampa and here, Jess had to wonder about that forensics team. Did they come here to scan the scene or to finish what the burglar had started, looking for the evidence Carl may have left in this office somewhere? Jess shook her thoughts off and walked over to her desk drawer, pulling it open to get her book of phone numbers. She hadn't put Carl's new attorney's number in her phone. Finding the book, she looked up Ken Brown and dialed. Hello? A cool, clipped female voice answered. Hello? Jess's frown deepened as she wondered if she'd dialed the wrong number. Sorry, I think I might have misdialed. I wanted to speak to Ken Brown.
I'm Ken Brown, the woman said with a slight pause before coming back. Jess Sanderson, right?
Yes, Jess said curiously.
You're Carl's new attorney?
I am, she answered.
I'm Kennedy Brown.
Oh, Jess nodded. Right, she smiled.
Your name must come in handy.
In my profession, it does, Ken agreed with a laugh. I'm glad you called me. You were on my list of people to contact today.
Jess could hear papers being shuffled in the background.
You're on Carl's in case anything happened to him contact sheet.
Oh? Jess's brows rose. I'm actually quite surprised that I'm still on any of his lists, including his medical contact and proxy one.
Oh, yes. I advised Carl to reinstate you on that list, with Callie being the next in line, should you not be available, and it works its way through your family's names.
I guess that makes sense, all things considered, Jess mumbled, and alarm shot through her. Has something happened to Carl in the past few hours that I wasn't made aware of? She pulled the phone from her ear and scrolled through the messages. There were none. I just checked. There are no messages or missed calls from the hospital.
Oh, no, Ken said quickly. It's nothing like that, but I had to make you aware that he has a deep